chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are truly thankful for another day to be alive, and thankful for the strength and the help and the health, Lord, to be able to get up and come to church. And I thank you for everyone that is here today, and I pray that each one of us would have come with a hungry heart, desiring to feast on your word. And I pray that you would help each one of us now to have ears to hear. Help us, Lord, at least for these few moments, to be able to put out of our mind any distraction. Help us to be able to stay alert, to focus on the word of God. And Lord, I pray that most of all, you would help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. If there is someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that this day, they would see clearly and understand, if they have not already, that without Jesus Christ, they're headed to hell. And the only hope of heaven they have is to trust you. And I pray they'd make that decision before it's everlasting too late. For those of us that are already saved, speak to our hearts, change our lives for your glory and honor. Help us to be sure that we give you the glory, the praise for everything. Help me now as I preach, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. The verses that we just read begin a story that continues to unfold in the remainder of this chapter and also the next. It unfolds in the remainder of chapter 3 and also chapter 4. And as you can see, this story begins with the healing of a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb. If you look here in Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, once again, you'll notice it says there, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." So you have two of the Lord's disciples, you could even say two brothers in Christ, who are going up together into the temple. And just as a side note, I wanted to say that one of the great blessings to me of being saved is us as brothers and sisters in Christ being able on a regular basis to assemble ourselves together in the house of God. What a privilege and an honor it is on a weekly basis to be able to get together with God's people. Amen? That's a blessing. But you have here two brothers in Christ going up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which would be somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it says, verse 2, that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he's laid there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Alms would be money of some kind or charity of some kind. So every day of his life, he's carried by someone or certain people to this particular gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he's laid there to ask alms of those that go in. Perhaps he thought in his mind that the people going into the temple would be the most likely to have a generous, giving heart. And in a perfect world, that's how it would be. Amen. Those going into the house of God would have the most generous and giving hearts. But I can tell you, after being in the ministry and dealing with Christians for a long time, that's a dangerous assumption to make. There's a whole lot of saved people that come in and out of church that are as tight as they can be, if you know what I mean. That's just, hey, watch out, I see some jabbing all right. But maybe that's what this guy's thinking. If I can just get there, then I'll get more alms there than I will anywhere else. So he's there every day, and he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, it says in verse 3, and he asks an alms. He asks for some charity, for a handout, I guess you might say. Verse 4, Peter fastens his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Now, what he's expecting to receive is money of some kind, gold, silver, whatever the case might be. But it says in verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter says, "I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have I will give to you." And what he had was the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And you read in verse number 7 where he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaped up, he stood, he walked, he went on with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And this is something that all the people saw, according to verse 9. And you find in verse 10 and 11 that they're all absolutely amazed by the miracle that has taken place in this man's life. And what a wonderful story this is. This is what the Bible calls on over in the next chapter a notable miracle. It's something worth taking note of. But I want you to look with me once again at verse number 6. And notice there, Peter says to this man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That really is what I want to deal with in the message today. I want to preach on the name that is above every name. The name that is above every name. And the name I'm talking about, obviously, is the name Jesus. This is the name that is hated, blasphemed, mocked, maligned, ridiculed, and set at naught by millions of people just in our country alone. It is the name that even many so-called Christians are scared to mention when they're being interviewed on television or radio. And I've always found that a little bit odd, but y'all know I'm telling you the truth. They don't mind saying God did this or God did that and so forth. But very rarely do you ever hear any one of them say the name that is above every name, the name Jesus Christ. Very rarely do you hear that. So it is a name that is set at naught and, as I said, blasphemed by a lot of people. But it is, according to the Bible, and I read the scripture on purpose this morning, Philippians chapter 2. It is, according to the Bible, the name that is above every name. And even though there are millions that hate this name, there are also, thank God, millions in this world that love that name. There are millions that adore that name, that praise God for the name Jesus Christ. And there are songs that have been written all down through the years about this name. I don't know if my wife told you to do that song. Did she give you that song to start out the choir with today? She didn't give you that? Isn't that amazing how that happens? Do y'all remember the song that the choir started out with? His name is wonderful. That's one of the songs that we sing about that name. I've sung that song just about my whole life, as far back as I can remember in church. But there's all kinds of songs that have been written and sung about that name. Take the name of Jesus with you. Y'all remember that one? Take the name of Jesus with you. Blessed be the name. One of my favorites is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. What a wonderful song. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. These are all hymns that are in our hymn books that we've sung for years and years, and they're all about that one name. That name that is above every other name. And you take all the names of all the great people that are in the world, and I find it amazing the people that are idolized in our world today. Isn't it amazing the folks whose names are lauded and applauded and exalted by society today? It's amazing to me how folk will put on a pedestal people that are whoremongers, people that are fornicators and adulterers who are thieves and robbers, people that are crooked as a dog's hind leg, that have never really contributed one single positive thing to this society that we live in, and yet we feel like we got to display all sorts of accolades and praise on these kind of people. And I want you to understand this morning, I'm sure you already do, you can take every last one of them, whether it be a politician, whether it be a religious leader, a business person, a billionaire, an athlete, you take every last one of them that's lifted up high and put on a pedestal, and you put them all together, and I'm telling you, there is one name that towers above every one of them, and that is the name Jesus Christ. He's above them all. Not even close. Not even a close second. Here's what I want to do this morning in order to lay a foundation for the main part of the message. There are three things, three associations, you might say, that Simon Peter had with the name of Jesus Christ that I want to bring out. And these are seen right here in the scripture. First of all, I want to say this. That name, the name that is above every name, was possessed by Peter. Possessed by Peter. If you look again here at Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6, notice there, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money to give you." That's what the guy wanted. And perhaps whenever Peter said this, that man's heart sunk a little bit. Maybe he got a little bit discouraged just for a moment, because what is he wanting in reality? He is there every day for one purpose, and that is to get alms from the people that go into the temple. So when he hears Peter say, "Silver and gold have I none," maybe it took a little bit of the air out of his balloon. Maybe was just a little bit discouraged and thought, well, here it goes. I'm just going to get another long lecture from some religious Pharisee who thinks he's better than me. Maybe that's where his mind went. There's no telling how many times when sitting there day after day, some religious Pharisee came along and looked down their bony pharisaical nose at that man and gave him some big spiel about how if he wouldn't live a certain way, then maybe his life would be better, and then went on his merry way and enjoyed his life. That's how religious people are a lot of times. Would to God we'd have less religious people in this world and more saved people in this world. But maybe the man's heart just sunk a little bit when he heard the words, "Silver and gold have I none." But you know what Peter does? He gives him something worth a whole lot more than silver and gold. He said, I don't got any money to give you, but what I do have, such as I have. You see how that name was possessed by Peter? He said, I don't got silver and gold, but I do have something. I do have something I can give you today. I have the name that is above every name. I have the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I guarantee you, once it was all said and done, that man wouldn't have traded that name for all the silver and gold in the world. He got something that day he didn't expect. He got something that day that silver and gold could not do for that man. He got the name that is above every name. But it was possessed by Peter. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Again, this is just kind of laying some groundwork. Not only was that name possessed by Peter, but I see that it was passed on by Peter. Look at what he says. Such as I have. Don't got no silver and gold, but I do have something. And such as I have, look at it, give I thee. I give it to you. This is what I have, and this is what I'm going to give you. That name was passed on by Peter. He didn't keep the name to himself. He knew what that name meant to him. He knew how that name that is above every name had changed his life. What a difference it had made in his life. That simple commercial fisherman that heard the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. It got to be one of his disciples and travel around with him and go through all of those experiences and hear all the things that Jesus said and see all the things that Jesus did, that got to go through all of that stuff. He knew what that name meant to him, and he knew what that name could do in anybody else's life. Hey, Peter had to know, if that name can help me, that name can help anybody. Let me say this to you this morning. I hope you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. I hope you understand this morning that your mindset is the same as Peter. If that name can help me. Me. Don't be saying if that name can help him. Say no. If that name can help somebody like me, that name can help anybody in this world. And Peter knew that. He knew that. So he gives what he had. He says, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. He passed that name on. This is something he did constantly. I want you to look on with me. I told you the story kind of unfolds itself in the remainder of this chapter and the next. Look over at the next chapter. Chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. Now this is the next day. And Peter and John's been put in custody, and they're before the religious leaders, and all kind of things are being said. But look at verse 17. We're just kind of picking up in the story here. But that it spread no further. This is what the religious leaders are saying. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, the disciples, that they speak henceforth, that is, from this point forward, let's threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Let's put some threats on them and say, from now on, you don't say anything to anybody in that name. Verse number 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They were like those people I was talking about earlier in our society. They hated that name. They hated it. They envied that name. They despised that name. And the last thing they wanted was for Peter or John or any of the Lord's disciples to be passing that name on to anyone, because after all, that might cause some people to turn away from them to that name that is above every name. So they give them a command. Don't speak to anybody. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You be the judge. Should I listen to you or should I listen to God? That's pretty simple there, isn't it? For a sane, rational human being, that's pretty simple. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, they're threatened and they're told, don't you say anything else in that name. Well, what do they do? Well, let's look at it. Look on over in the next chapter, chapter 5. Verse number 28. They've been arrested again. Chapter 5, well, let's just start verse 27. And when they had brought them, that's the disciples, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Didn't we tell you not to ever do that again? And behold, look what they did. Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So we gave you a commandment. We told you don't ever speak that man's name again. And what have you done? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You know what they did after they were told not to ever say anything in that name again? They just kept right on preaching and teaching in that name. They filled the whole city with the doctrine of the name that is above every name. So Peter passed it on. He didn't just keep it to himself. He possessed that name just like any believer possesses that name. We have that name. But what are we going to do with that name? You realize as a believer, you possess the one thing that can make a difference in somebody else's life like nothing else. You understand that, right? You're going to pass that name on? Is that what you're doing? Are you telling other people, look, I don't have this, I don't have that? Maybe you don't have a whole lot of silver and gold. Maybe you don't have a whole lot of resources that you can contribute to people who are in need. But if you are a born-again child of God, you have the one thing that people in this world need more than anything else. You have the name that is above every name. And you can pass that name on. You may not be able to write out a check. You may not be able to put any bills in somebody's hand. You may not be able to go and buy a whole bunch of clothes or a whole bunch of food. But I tell you what you can do. You can tell them about that name that is above every name. You can pass that name on. One last thing that I want to say before we get on into the main part of the message. Not only was that name possessed by Peter and passed on by Peter, but thirdly, it was proclaimed by Peter. It was proclaimed by Peter. And we're not going to take the time to go through all of it, or I'll run out of time. But I want to say, first of all, Peter proclaimed that name as the source of this man's miracle. He made sure that the Lord Jesus Christ got the glory and the credit for what happened in this man's life right here. Take a look at it real quick. Look here at chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, this is the people in the temple wondering, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Why are you looking at us? Why do you think we did it? Do you think it's because we were holy or we had the power to do it? He's saying, you don't need to be looking at us. And he immediately turns the attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. See what he does? He turns all the attention away from him and John and puts it on that name that is above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does the same thing over in chapter 4. If you look at chapter 4, verse 10, he says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Gives all the glory to that name. He proclaims it is the source of this man's miracle. You know what we got to make sure we always do, folks? Whether we're talking about something that's happened in our life or something that we have had the privilege of being a part of taking place in somebody else's life, you know what we got to make sure we always do? We got to make sure that we give all the glory to that name that is above every name. Don't ever try to take the glory for yourself. Don't ever try to attract attention to yourself and get those applause and those pats on the back. Because let me remind you of something that Jesus said. If all you want is the glory of man, that's all you're going to get. They may pat you on the back and they may say you've done a good job and I appreciate it. But when you hit the judgment seat of Christ, you won't get another cotton picking thing for what you did. You got to make sure you give all the glory to him. But here, let me show you this, one other thing that he proclaimed. Over in Acts chapter 4, not only did he proclaim it as the source of this man's miracle, but he proclaimed it as the only means of salvation. The only means of salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, he's talking again to these religious leaders, and he says this, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only source of salvation, the only source, the only means whereby anybody is saved is the name of Jesus. Look at it. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's what you call narrow-minded Christianity. Just go ahead and chalk me up, all right? You can call me narrow-minded, pig-headed, all those other things my wife calls me every day. You know what I'm going to say to you? Guilty as charged. When it comes to salvation in the Word of God, I'm about as narrow-minded as they come, friend. And I don't have any plans anytime soon of changing my mind. I'm going to say the same thing by the grace of God that I've said ever since I started preaching, that if you don't trust that name that is above every name, you have no hope of salvation. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. And people are saying things all the time. I'm telling you, there is only one name that brings salvation, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. You put your faith in anything else, and one day you're going to wake up in hell. That is the truth. We're talking about the name that is above every name. Now, having said all of this, and again, that was just groundwork. Y'all was hoping I'd be done, wasn't you? No such luck. I do want to point out four truths, and that really scared you, didn't it? About the name that is above every name. And I'm going to try to give these to you quickly. Won't try to spend a lot of time there, but you know when a preacher says all that, what it means? Like, I'm about done, and it means absolutely nothing, okay? Absolutely nothing. First of all, let me say this about that name. And some of this, all of it I'm drawing from the scripture, but also from my own personal experience and the experiences of other people as well. But I want to say, first of all, that name that is above every name will take you where you've never gone. It'll take you where you've never gone. Take a look right here once again at this man. The Bible said in verse number 2, this is chapter 3, verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, look at this, at the gate of the temple. They just laid him at the gate. The rest of them walked on in. You know where this fella had never gone? In the temple. They just bring him there and lay him at the gate. And there's a comparison made. It says, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You had them that entered in, and you had that poor fella who never got to go in. He's just sitting there at the gate every day watching these people who probably many of them took for granted their health. Amen? Like we do. We take it for granted a lot of times that we can just hop out of bed in the morning and throw on our pants, both our legs work and our arms work, and we can go out and work and do whatever we want to do. That kind of, we take that for granted. A lot of those people, no doubt, walking in and out and in and out, and he's seeing them day after day, and a lot of those probably took it for granted. And here's this poor fella sitting at the gate. He's never got to go in before. He's never been in the temple before. But after he comes in contact with that name that is above every name, let me show you what happens here. Look at verse number 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked, here it is, and entered with them into the temple. That name took him where he'd never been before. And don't you know it was a wonderful blessing to this man, how much it meant? You know, the old expression, familiarity breeds contempt. And all of us, let's be real about it. The more familiar with you become with something, oftentimes the less it means to you. When the newness, that's why we talk about the honeymoon, you know what I'm saying? I hear preachers a lot of times, they go to a new church, they say, well, everything's going good, we're still on the honeymoon. Well, I understand what they mean there. But isn't it amazing how as you do something again and again, it just seems to not mean as much to you as it once did. And I'm sure these people that have been going in and out of that temple day after day, day after day, day after day, just going in and out, it was something that probably didn't mean as much to them as it should have. But I guarantee you, when that fella right there stood up and walked in there for the first time, it meant something to him, friend. He knew that name was taking him somewhere he'd never been before. He got to go in. And here's the thing about this. Now, look over at chapter 4 real quick. Look how long it's been going on. The Bible said this man was lame from his mother's womb. Well, how old a fellow was he? Well, the Bible said in Acts chapter 4, verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Over 40 years, he's been crippled. Hadn't been able to go into the temple. He was beyond the halfway point. You know what I mean? Isn't it amazing how we say that when somebody hits 50, that they're at the middle of their life right there? But let's be real about it, folks. How many people do we know that actually make it to 100? There ain't a whole lot of us, is there? Most people get 80, 85, something like that. You know what I mean? More realistically, when you hit 40, that's about middle age. Half this man's life, probably. He's been a cripple and couldn't go in, and now he gets to go somewhere he's never gone, and he gets to go there because of one name, the name that is above every name. That name will take you where you've never gone. It'll take you where you've never gone in this life. It'll take people that have never gone to church to church. I can't tell you the times I've talked to people before they got saved. They didn't ever go to church. They didn't want anything to do with church or God or anything. And now they're as faithful to church and more faithful than a lot of people are. It'll take those people that have never gone to church. It'll take folks soul winning. It'll take them on mission trips. It'll take them on different directions in their life that they never dreamed they would go. It'll take you where you've never gone in this life. I think about my own self. My son asked me the other day what I wanted to be when I was growing up. I said, I can't remember everything I wanted to be, but I can tell you what I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be a preacher. That's the God's truth. I'm telling you the honest to God truth. In growing up, there was never the first thought that one day I would stand in a pulpit and preach. I never thought about that. That wasn't even on my agenda. But guess what? That name took me somewhere I'd never been before. It took my life in a direction. Many of you could give that same testimony. That name, since you trusted that name, it has taken your life in a completely different direction than you ever intended for it to go. That's what it do. But here's what's even more important. Talking about it taking you where you've never gone. You know where it's going to take you? You've never gone. It's going to take you to heaven when you leave this world. And that's the only name that'll do that. But it'll take you where you've never gone. I got to move on. Number two, let me say this. Not only will that name take you where you've never gone, but number two, it will empower you to do what you've never done. It will empower you to do what you've never done. Verse number two of this chapter, 3:2. He's laid daily at the gate of the temple. He's lame from his mother's womb. He's never been able to walk his whole life. He's never, ever, ever been able to walk. Been like that for over 40 years. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. When he comes in contact with that name, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaps up, he's never been able to do that. We can just hop up and jump up and down. I used to could run, but some of that's going away from me. But y'all know what I mean. He could never do that. He leaps up. He stood. He could never stand. He's never been able to stand in his whole life. He walked. He'd never been able to walk. He's empowered to do what he had never done. I'm telling you, that name will empower you to do what you've never been able to do up to that point in your life. It'll help you overcome sin that you've never been able to overcome. Man, the testimonies through the years of people that were lost and in bondage to something, them get saved and the Lord deliver them from that. It'll give you the power to overcome sins that have held you captive for years and years. It'll empower a timid soul to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ, to speak up for the Lord. It'll empower you to live a life that pleases God and not just a self-centered life that is all about you. It'll transform and empower a woman into a holy vessel and a godly wife, a husband, to be a man of God and a leader in his home. I'm talking about what that name will do for you. That name will do for you amazing things. You know what that name will do? It'll empower you to love your enemies. That name will empower you to forgive people that you've held a grudge against for years and years and years. I'm talking about that name. That name will do stuff for you that's amazing. It'll empower you to do what you've never, ever done. It'll help you to talk right, to walk right, to think right, to act right, to have a whole new outlook on life. That's what that name will do. Anybody in here following along with what I'm saying? Is it resonating at all with you how that name has affected you? The direction it's taking you in, how it's taking you places you would have never gone. It's empowered you to do things that you could have never done. Talking about how he took me into the direction of being a preacher. This is the gospel truth. The first time that I ever spoke publicly was the first sermon that I ever preached. I was petrified, and I mean that with all of my heart. I would rather take a beating with a razor strap, and I got several of those, by the way. I would rather take a beating with a razor strap than I had stand up in front of anybody and speak. And when my pastor asked me if I would preach, I was scared to death Four or five different times in the week leading up to that, I kid you not, I almost called and lied to my pastor. Right up to hours before I started to call him and told him I got sick that afternoon, wasn't going to be able to make it. I'm not playing. I was scared to death. And now here, over 25 years later, I'm doing the very thing that I would have told you. You were crazy if you said I would do that. And I'm not standing up here saying this to laud me. I'm trying to exalt that name that is above every name. That thing will take you where you've never gone, and it'll empower you to do stuff you never, ever dreamed you could possibly do. That's what that name will do for you. Here's number three. It'll make you who you never were. That name will make you who you never were. In verse 16, it says, "And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Chapter 4, verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Perfect soundness, wholeness. It'll make you who you never were. It'll make you into a child of the King. That's what that name would do. Make you into a child of the King. Turn you into a brand new creature in Christ where all the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. It'll make you into a saint of God. And I ain't going to say that. It'll make you into a saint of God. That's what it'll do for you. You may not always act like a saint, just like I don't, but that's what this name will do for you, to make you a saint of God. It'll make you a able minister of the New Testament. It'll transform your life, is what I'm trying to say. Make you what you never were. And last of all, I want to say this. That name will give you associates and friends that you never had. Never had. Here's this fellow, Peter and John. He follows him right on into the temple. He's holding on to him, it says in verse number 11. He held Peter and John. And that day, that man got some new associates because of that name. I've stood here before and told you that I have friends right now that there's no doubt in my mind, people I would have never met were it not for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name has brought me the closest and best friends that I have ever had. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, he puts you into his family, so you're a part of this great big family, the family of God. And like the old song says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Every brother or sister in Christ, wherever they are, we have things in common with them now. We may not even know them. They may not even know us. But if they're saved, we're saved. We're all in the same family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And then all along this journey, God brings people into your life, lets you meet people and know people, become friends with people that you'd have never met were it not for that name. I've talked to you about how he enriches your life, and it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me where he's brought me from to where I am today. Just that name. That name, the difference that it's made, the people that I know. Do you know it is very likely I would have never known any of you people in this building here today were it not for the name of Jesus Christ? I'd probably never met any of you. Some of y'all might be wishing that's how it would have worked out. But I'm going to tell you something. I love you folks. I don't just see y'all as my parishioners, you know. I see you as my friends, my associates. I see us as in the family together. And I understand this morning that the reason it's that way is because of that name that is above every name. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to spend some time in your word. And I do pray you take the simple message and use it as only you can to minister to our hearts, to change our lives, to bring salvation to those that are lost. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand together as we get ready to have an invitation. If there's anybody here today that needs to make a decision, right now is your opportunity to do that.
Turn to page 33.
Maybe you're already saved. If you are, you just need to be thankful and rejoice because of the difference that that name has made in your life. If you're here and you're lost, won't you come today and trust Him?